I'm bringing it down early. I like to say that's the sign of a good show. Means I got something to talk about. And I do, Bill. I do. You're enjoying the song, man.
I don't even know who this is, but I like it.
This is my brother's band, his old band.
What's the name of it?
Gray Sky Eternal was the band.
Gray Sky Eternal.
Yeah,
all right.
Almost sounds like Gray Skull. Yeah, Gray Skull Eternal.
Almost.
Yeah, who doesn't like He-Man? Me.
It's not bad. It's not bad. I never heard it before, so I was like, this is pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I went through their album, which I am a horrible brother, so I didn't even buy it on iTunes.
Because
I was like, what does it matter? I'm sorry, you're going to get 18 cents for that?
Fair point.
Yes, I will buy you
Here's
a pizza.
Quarter. Yep.
Exactly. I have now purchased 5 albums as far as you're concerned. God. Oh, everything is dead. Radio's dead. Music's dead. It's all dead. Everyone, this is Papa's Basement. The show, because I brought this to the attention of an NPR producer who was nice enough to listen to a couple episodes.
Wow.
And she came in with like a podcaster's perspective. She's like, I don't know what your show theme is. And I was like, you know what? She's right. Like, podcasts now have a theme. Like, your show's about something. Like, you had Serial where they're freeing Adnan Syed or whatever the hell. And the concept of guy talk, just some dickbag narcissist coming on and being like, this is what happened to me, blah, blah. That's not exactly a podcast anymore. I guess you got Corolla, but they're famous.
Well, but here's
Rogan's
the thing.
Famous.
One of the most successful sitcoms ever was about nothing, right? Seinfeld.
This is
it was
true.
A show
yeah.
about nothing. So her telling you that your podcast has no theme or whatever, fine.
It was a great compliment.
So what?
That's
yes.
what you're saying.
Yes. I'd be like, okay, I'm not trying to get on NPR, so I don't need to talk in really
I like NPR,
dulcet tones.
But what is with that NPR voice?
Hey, I could.
That is the worst thing on earth.
I'll be honest with you. I have looked at times at like the NPR careers thing because I'm like, you know what? I did the sports thing for a long time, did some guy talk, whatever. I could go
the national NPR station's based where we are.
It's right in D.C.,
yeah.
Right. So I was like, I could go and do. But then my girlfriend listens to NPR a ton in the morning. So I hear it. I'm not going to say that I'm a fan.
Yeah.
But I get it. They do good work. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's just not for me. Just like, you know, certain music's not for everybody.
Yeah.
NPR not necessarily for me. And I can't get past the.
It's a little low energy, man.
Yeah. Manuel walked up.
I'm happy I have not killed a pedestrian yet listening to that, just nodding off.
They just, you know, Manuel walks up the side of the mountain.
I love that.
The coffee grows high into the morning sun.
I don't
Manuel's
get it.
Family. And it's like, all right, I get it. Stop doing the whole, let's paint the picture.
It's
well,
I think what's annoying to me is like conservative radio in general is like wildly more popular, or at least I think its adherents are more loyal. And those guys are so the opposite end of the spectrum.
Oh, right.
Like they're almost a morning zoo, just like bashing pans together and gongs and
that
stuff.
Is
like
so true.
The Mexicans, bang, bang, bang.
That's true.
And you're like, I don't know what's going on, but this is energetic
as
hell.
That's right. I don't agree with anything the guy's saying, but heck yeah, he must be right. Yeah,
exactly. Like he's screaming so loudly.
That's right.
He's got
to be right.
Everyone, I'm joined today in my little studio by Bill Roland, who during my brief tenure in actual professional radio, Bill was like the nicest dude I worked
with.
That's
very kind. I'm sure you say that to everybody who sits in this chair
when they
come in to work with you. But I appreciate it.
Oh,
I'll take that.
I've had the whole WJFK family, and it's not just you a couple times now.
That's right.
No, Bill, I was your nighttime show producer. And
that's right.
Yeah, you were the one dude there who like would let me on air for certain segments. Like, I think the show ran till 11 typically, around 10:30. You'd be like, I'm done talking about the Redskins for 14 segments. Like,
okay.
Hey, rank the Arnold Schwarzenegger films
right.
or stuff like that.
Right.
And so I got
any
to do these
stuff.
Fun little segments, and I appreciate that.
I want to say we had a regular one for you. A regular. Now that you bring that up, I mean, first off, I'm always one of these guys, and some of my program directors I've had in my career hate me for it. I'm always one of these people that just because I'm the one that with the name on the show or whatever, I don't care. If you're here, you may have something to say, and Lord knows it may be something profound.
Literally, Letterman made an entire career of it.
Exactly. Know? So who knows? So I mean, I thought you were great on the air. If I didn't think you were any good, I wouldn't have gone to. I wouldn't have. That's the thing is I'll give people the opportunity. You kind of figure out which guys enjoy being on the air and which guys like being on and who's good.
Weren't you weirded out by the people that worked there that didn't want to be on the air? Why are you on radio?
No, I wasn't, because there are a lot of people. I mean, look, there are tons of people in television that are perfectly happy being behind the camera. They like that artistic.
But it's such a crap business.
Well, I understand.
This is it. This is the only little cherry on top. Your voice gets to go out to people. I had a friend who was at a Nats game one time, and he's like, I heard your voice while I was taking a piss. And I was like, that's it. That's, you know, I can put that on a plaque, put it on my tombstone.
There you go. Well, we had a guy who was supposed to come in tonight, but he couldn't make it.
Yes.
We had a guy who actually used to do the call-ins from Nats Park, if you remember.
Yeah.
Chris used to be our before the station had the Nationals carrying the games.
We had Chris Jolly.
We had Chris, who had season tickets and out in left field, and we would just get a Nats update from...
Wasn't Chris's shtick like he would always just be belligerently drunk?
He'd be drunk most of the time, yeah. And then he would just scream because his seats were right next to the opposing team's bullpen.
Yeah.
We'd say, okay, who's in the bullpen? Go yell. And for 30 seconds to a minute, we just listen to him scream at whoever it was in the visiting bullpen.
And in case anyone who's still with us thinks that shtick, Chris has a lifetime ban from Nats Park, correct?
No, that is not true.
Whoa.
It was a 5-year ban.
Oh, okay.
Which is actually now down to, I believe, less than a year to go. I believe he can go back to Nats Park in 2019.
So once Bryce Harper's gone and all hope has been extinguished.
Chris can come back.
Nice.
It'll be perfect. But anyway, yes, I feel like we had some sort of, because we called you the beard.
Beard, yeah.
You still have the beard, which yes. I'm glad, because if you ever did, I don't know what I'd have to call you by your real name at that point.
Oh, no. Until I lose the weight, like, this is going, this is the only thing keeping this face together, man. A beard is a great cheat if you're fat. Like, it just gives you this jawline you don't deserve. And, yeah, if I shaved this,
I would do it, but my girlfriend's not a fan of the facial hair, so I kind of can't get away with it.
It gives a masculinity, man. Like,
that's true.
Castro was onto something. Like, communism's crap, but the beard is great. Like,
fair point.
Without the beard, I just got like that Simpsons face where it's just like my lips going into my neck. Like,
didn't,
this lets me have a chin.
Didn't Lennon have a beard too? Not John, but.
V.I. Lennon. He had something.
Didn't
he had
a little.
I think he had a little Dick Van Dyke beard.
Yeah. So, I mean, it may be on something, the communist thing. I don't know. But anyway, I always enjoyed talking to the people that were around us because to me, I wanted to make that sound like, again, it's the old cliche of, hey, everybody, if you're hanging out with your buddies in Papa's basement, for instance, well, everybody in the basement, when you're hanging out with your friends, just because there's a couple of you that dominate the conversation, you don't tell your other friend to shut up and don't speak.
I mean, there maybe are some people at the station who would treat their friends like that.
Right, but you probably shouldn't. Everybody should be
involved.
They're
horrible people.
Everybody should be involved in the conversation. And that's kind of the way that I approached it was, okay, we're all here. We're all just trying to get through the 4 hours.
Yeah.
You might have something remarkably funny to say about whatever it is that we're talking about, or profound, or whatever it may be, or idiotic, that will lead us down another road that would be fun or whatever it may be, rather than who's the third string tight end for the Redskins and how many snaps are they going to get. I understand that, but you can't.
No, I'm with you 100%. It drove me nuts.
You can't.
We were the fourth show,
right?
Covering like Redskins off season. At some point, just let it go.
Yes, exactly.
Let it go.
Exactly.
Like, not like once a year, you'd have a story like, "Hey, Chris Cooley showed his dick on Twitter."
Right.
Maybe that deserves 16 hours of coverage. You'd be like, "Was it cut?" You know, like if you had to guess how big it was, hard from what it was flaccid, what would you do? But otherwise, what? Yeah, it's just done to death. I mean, was the logic behind it that not everyone is listening to every hour of everything?
Of course, right. And that's and
they're
I
hearing
and
enough.
Again, I get that you if you've got a big story, that should be you should be pounding that story home over and over again. But at some point, it's 10:30 at night.
Yeah,
and with all the media, and it's even more now. But with all the ways that you can consume those stories, if you really want to know what happened with that third string tight end that day, you could find it without coming to us. And we were hopefully just going to be entertaining you with stories from Florida.
I mean, exactly.
that's
Florida.
Florida stories.
Segment back then, and it never let us down.
Right.
No, man, I appreciate that. That was it shows you are a student of improv.
Oh,
improv
good.
Comedy,
good.
Which I've spent the last.
I did some theater when I was in high school.
Did you
so
really?
I did, yes. I actually, I graduated high school with four letters.
Really?
Three of them were in baseball.
Okay.
And one of them, I got my, what would have been the Thespians, my Maskers.
Maskers?
The Maskers is what it was called. I lettered in theater. In fact, theater was the first letter that I got. I was so active in it my first freshman year. I think I missed lettering. You got so many points for doing, you know, if you're a lead.
I was not a letter guy in high school. My letters were LSD in high school.
Yeah, well, you also had the 1600 in high school.
This is true.
You were more of a numbers guy than any of us were.
I had a weird dichotomy where, yeah, I did well academically, but I looked back and I consumed a lot of drugs, man. Like, that was, I think, how I played off being smart. I was like, you could call me a nerd, or you could buy some PCP from me. And, you know, kids.
There you go.
We like smoking that boat.
but yeah, I think the second, after the first quarter of my sophomore year, I had done enough. A lot of it was, I was on the technical side doing a lot of stuff. I did a lot of the lighting. I love that kind of thing, that creative of putting the lighting together and knowing where to backlight, what spot do you use, what gels do you use here to get this type of mood.
Yeah.
But because most males, especially in the late 80s when I went to school, and I'm going to date myself here, it's a little bit different now, but most guys weren't doing theater. And they certainly weren't going to do theater to act. So when you were one of the few people, males, that were there at the theater doing stuff, it was usually, hey, by the way, we also need not only for you to do carpentry and do the sets, we need you to act because we don't have enough guys.
I thought you were about to say, like, you had six children by eight women.
No, nothing like that. It was just you would show up, and my older sister had been in theater, and so I knew all of her friends for years. So that was a benefit.
Yeah.
That, I mean, look, in ninth grade, I had probably seen, I would guess, more boobs than most of my friends.
Oh, God.
But it was in a way, but see, you say that, but it was in a way that nobody, you just didn't think about it because we did.
I would have thought about it.
No, I mean, I look back on it and I really did.
I know what you're saying. Context is everything.
Well, you were just, again, I was a freshman. You were afraid. They were seniors.
Yeah.
So you were afraid to say anything. I mean, make any kind of comment because, again, you're trying to be like, I'm the mature guy. I can handle this idea that. I forget what play we did, but there was a scene change that we had literally.
It was the play Caligula.
No, it wasn't that. There's I want to say it might have been the Philadelphia Story, which Audrey Hepburn, I think, played in it. It's an old, not the one.
The only one I know is very AIDS-y.
Yeah, no, it's not. Okay. Not that one. It was the one from way back in the 40s that they did. And I can't remember who all was in it, but it's old classic movie, and they adapted it from the play. But there's a scene where we had to literally maybe had 60 seconds to change out of formal. It was like a, you know, party, because this is high Ritz high society is one of the things. It's about a weekend high society wedding, to give it a very, very bad synopsis of what's going on. But anyway, so my character, a couple of the other characters, were at this evening high society type thing before the wedding. And then the next scene is supposed to be the next morning out poolside. So we literally had about a minute to get out of, girls are in dresses and they've got to get into their, so
man,
you had to practice that and you had to be able to do it. And so
I just, as a broadcaster, I have to ask, this isn't for me at all.
Mm-hmm.
These Nubile High School senior girls you are around. We're talking, you saw everything, not just the bra or?
Oh, no, because they would leave their panties on and then just pull, because it's the 40s.
Okay.
So you're not doing the 50s style bikinis where you got to drop everything. You basically could put the one piece on over what you had.
All right.
But it wouldn't work with the bra because you'd be able to see.
Oh,
so
man, okay.
You
did see it all.
They saw, well, I mean, I saw a lot of chest. They would see a lot of my chest, which wasn't impressive then. Not that it's impressive now. And then my guy.
You so do have your anchor tattoo, though.
It doesn't. That's right. It didn't really matter because, you know, again, as a dude, who cares? Walk around shirtless, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But you, I mean, I didn't have time. The thing is, you didn't have time to be like.
I know.
Holy smokes.
Like after the fact, like you almost had probably reverse PTSD, right? Like where in the heat of the moment, you're like, just things are happening. A lot of bright lights. I don't know what's going on. And then like 6 hours later, like you process it. And you're like, oh God.
Well, in a way, because you
Mom,
sit
where's
there.
Where's the corn oil?
Well, no, you sit there, and then, like you say, it's all said and done, and then you'll be at, you know, the cast party, whatever thing, and then you'll be sitting there off in the corner, because again, you've at the
doing,
time.
Yeah.
Oh no, at the time they're like, okay, you're part of this. You're part of our little group because we need you to do this scene. We need you, and that's fine. But then you go off into your life, and now you're the annoying little brother of the senior. So you may be at the same party because you kind of have to be because you can't exclude people because you're all part of the same little theater group. But at the party, I'm not hanging out going, hey, wasn't that a fun time?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sitting there over.
You didn't walk on up the like, nice areolas.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, boy, you really, you wouldn't see that normally. With you got the big 80s sweater on. You can't really tell that you've got some bazingas there.
Your nickname is Pepperoni.
Yeah, no, I mean, you would off the side, and I'd be like, I see her half naked, and she won't even speak to me now.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you're just like, I'm not really as cool as I think I am.
You're cooler than the losers of course, that hadn't seen that.
Well,
man.
Right, but of course I'm talking to my friends about, hey, you know what, I've seen four or five of them in just bra and panties. Oh, that's
like,
great.
Like in high school, I would have made fun of, and it's funny because now I'm kind of in a peripheral theater thing. In high school, I kind of like looked down at theater people.
Of course.
Had they been like, hey, have you seen the tits of like a girl you go to school with? That would have been it.
Right. Right. I mean,
that would have been Jordan Duncan on me. You know,
I mean,
that's it.
We did Shakespeare in the wintertime. We did one act stuff in Shakespeare. And I remember we did Twelfth Night forever because we would do it for every English class in the school. We would take it to the Shakespeare festival that Fairfax County had. I'm a Fairfax County kid. And so as they said in the Breakfast Club, you wear the proper uniform, tights.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to wear tights. And again, as a 14-year-old boy at the time, you're putting on what you think of as women's clothing. And it's a little...
Not just that. Like, being 14, like, you're popping them left and right. Like, the hell were you even dealing with that?
Well, again, that's one of those things. I remember the first time I put on the tights to go out because... For those of you who have never done theater, I know this is probably very boring. Everybody is tuning out now, so I apologize that I'm crushing
YouTube years ago.
Yeah. That you have to, the costume designer, who's usually one of the older kids in the theater, you know, junior, senior, because that's what they're doing. They're trying to teach them to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Will design your costume. So then you will go out and stand on stage, and the teacher will look and she'll say, okay, walk here, walk here. Okay. You might want to change the hat, or we need to do this, you know, that kind of stuff. And
let then it out a little on the right test.
Yeah, and then you go off. Well, so the first time, they're like, here's your costume. And I go, I don't know how to put any of this on. I mean, I didn't say this to them, but I'm like, I have zero idea. How do I get into tights? I've never put on tights. I have no clue. So I left my boxers on.
Because
I had no idea.
Oh, legit? You can't wear underwear in them junks?
Oh, no.
Oh.
Not boxers.
Oh.
Because you walk out, and of course, they're tight because they're tight.
Yeah.
So you see every outline of your box. Well, they didn't have boxers back when Shakespeare was around. So I walked out on stage and stood there, and within 10 seconds, probably even less than that, I hear the snickering, and I'm like,
what a loser. We can't see the shaft of his penis.
And then the director said, all right, everything looks good. One thing, Bill, no underwear at these. It's just the tights.
Oh, God.
And I went.
Were they recycled or were they stitched
for
you?
Oh, no, I mean,
I had to
buy my own. Okay, I mean, you had to buy them. Yeah, no, they weren't recycled.
That's how you got herpes being a virgin.
And I was like, really?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah. So I was like, well, this is going to be a surprise for everybody, then, isn't it?
Surprise to me. I cannot imagine.
It was awful. Oh, it was
a young Bill Roland.
But you had, I mean, so that kind of gave you, to me, that it was one of those things. Like, okay, well, you know what? Everybody else has to do it. I'm in. Let's go. So went back, dropped the boxers. I had a little conversation with one of the older older upperclassman about this, and he said, just don't think about it.
No,
and I mean, he was just like, look, he goes, we've all been through it. Everybody, he goes, there are people of various sizes. Because I, again, I'm like, you look down, you're like, you can basically tell, if, as you said, am I circumcised or not? Yeah. You can almost basically tell.
Damn hole on the end.
Right, pretty much. I mean, it was, and he just said, look, don't worry about it. He goes, because I was like, I don't look very good in the, I mean, I'm not a big dude anyway. So I'm certainly not.
Oh, I would have stuffed the crap out of that. I would have done the spinal tap, cucumber, and foil.
I was like, this ain't gonna look good. And he goes, look, he goes, these girls are going to actually have more respect for you that you went through with this and didn't back out than they're going to care. He's like, because besides, he goes, most of them have never seen one anyway. He's like, so don't worry about it. I was like, thanks for the pep talk. 2 weeks later, we were drinking up in the rafters.
And they all doing saw the lighting. Yours.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was, I mean, a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. That's a long way to go to talk about the fact that I understand what you did this weekend. That was a long way to go for that.
Hey, man, that was a good story. I if I had to picture a young Bill Roland in high school, I would have figured you were like in a Yes jean jacket.
No.
Like smoking behind the bleachers.
No, never was a smoker.
Really?
Here's one you're talking about. I would not have been one of your customers.
Okay.
Because I have never, ever in my life had even as much as a joint.
Really?
To my lips.
Wow.
There's no way I could do heroin because I hate needles. Oh. So I ain't shooting anything up. That ain't gonna happen. The headline you will never read, you'll never see Bill Roland overdoses on heroin.
Okay.
Because that would require
I'm holding you to that.
That would require me to have a needle in my arm or somewhere else. And that, I don't even give blood because I can't stand needles that much.
Oh.
I fear them.
I thought you were very selfish.
No, hemoglobin. Well, maybe that too. But no, I mean, I legit passed out as a senior in high school. They do the blood drive, and they tap my arm and put that thing in, and I made this mistake of looking down as it first went. And I went.
No, I mean, I have a weird fascination watching them do that. I'm like, just the whole biology of it going down.
Can't do it. So yeah, no, I was not the Yes jean jacket wearing. I was more long. I kind of faded. A lot of my friends talked about it, that I faded from group to group to group. Mm-hmm. I was a floater. I mean, I had the guys that were the burners, the gearheads as they called it, and I could hang out with them on a Friday night down in the valley as they called it. I went to Edison High School, and there's a neighborhood where you literally drove down into a valley almost.
But then you'd pass on the grass.
That's right. I would be the one that would just hang out and, okay, let's get everybody home. Let's make sure everybody gets home.
Man.
If when I had my driver's license, it was, I want to make sure.
You.
A lot of, again, I had no problem with that because I was so deathly afraid of my parents that there was no chance that I would ever
come home. I was smart enough to hide all of my drug use, but I was, throughout high school, by the end of it, I was barfing so much from like the chemicals and the booze that like I did to my teeth what like bulimic girls did.
Oh my God.
Where like the back of it is all like scratched out. Yeah, because it was like once a week. There was a Seinfeld episode that came out when I was in high school where Jerry is prattling on about like, I haven't vomited in 7 years. And I remember like that was 10 years prior was the last time I vomited.
Wow.
And I just remember thinking like, is that how often normal people vomit? Because I was like a good for one a week at least. Like I just was clockwork barfing.
Was that, I mean, were you forcing yourself to or just
no,
from
well,
the drugs?
No, well, it was just drugs. I was either drinking to the point I'd barf or I've talked about this on the show a couple times. Like that whole rumor, you can get high on cough syrup. Oh, you can get high on cough syrup. But like, especially if you drink the stuff, like it will come up. Like after 40 minutes, your body's like, what did you do to me?
Why are you such an idiot?
Why didn't you just eat Elmer's glue, you dip crap?
Wow.
Like, and that would just come up and you'd have this horrible red puke that would stain your teeth. But then you'd be high the rest of the night.
Wow. No, never.
Yeah.
Never in college. I mean, like I did college. I did the fraternity thing.
I was burned out by college.
I had plenty of friends that would have just about anything you want. The first time, I remember this, the first time I it freaked me out the first time I saw people doing coke.
Uh-huh.
I literally spent, we were at a party, another fraternity. I will not mention them because I don't want to impugn it, even though it's been 30 years now. And we're hanging out at this party.
It was the Tri-Delt, wasn't
it? It was not. That'd be a sorority.
Okay.
And the guys are like, hey, come on down to the basement, you know, whatever. And I'm like, eh, sure, you know, I'm in a beer, you know, whatever. So I walk down, and there's a big, huge basement. They got a pool table on one side. This house was gigantic. It was fantastic for a fraternity house.
Mm-hmm.
And I see three or four guys, a couple of girls, all leaning over this table. So I think, again, first impression.
They've got a hustler.
Well, no, I figured they're... The guy is probably just telling a story real low. Oh, he doesn't want people to hear. So I don't know. I've never seen anybody do it before.
Yeah.
So I'm watching, and I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. And I'm drinking, I'm talking to my buddy. And then I see them all kind of lean back, and everybody's laughing. And then you see all the lines cut up on the table.
Man.
And the first thing I thought of was, OF, I'm going to jail. Because I'm like, my luck, my luck. This party is going to get busted in the next 30 uh-huh. seconds, and everybody in the basement is going to jail, whether you've done it or not, because you're... Again, I'm 19, 20.
I remember being that old, yeah.
Oh, I was paranoid.
You are dumb.
Oh, I was like, oh, no. So I turned to my buddy, and I was like, we got to go. And he's like, what are you talking about? I said, they're doing
haven't you heard of Len Bias?
I was like...
That was the boogeyman for everyone
right?
in this area.
I was like, they're doing blow off the table. I'm getting out of here. And he goes, God. They're what? I'm like, of course, I didn't make the mistake. I said, they're doing coke. And uh-huh. everybody turned around and looked at me like, yeah. So I was like, gotta go. See you later. And
you,
walked
you
up
and
the
I
stairs.
Are very different beasts. The first time I saw blow, I was like, I have arrived. Finally, well, I'm parting with sophisticates.
Fast forward probably maybe what? That would have been 1992-ish, probably.
Okay.
Yeah, 91, 92. Fast forward, I'm working in Baltimore, up in radio there, doing the midday show. We were after Stern, before mm-hmm. Don and Mike. It was mm-hmm. me and this guy, Steve Hill, who's now out in Seattle. You and I talked about this on the way in.
Oh, Steve Ski Ramp Hill?
Steve the Thrill Hill, okay. actually. They're out in Seattle, him and his and all of his buddies. Well, we were doing the midday show, and... One of the local, again, we were the only local show on because it was Stern when he was still doing FM radio.
Okay.
Then it was us, and then it was Don and Mike. Down in D.C., they did Stern. I think Liddy was still the midday show.
It is I, the G-Man.
And, of course, we've all heard the stories about him
pissing his
peeing
Tupperware.
In the Tupperware. Yeah. And then Don and Mike. So we
doing
were,
blow with John Pop.
We were the middle up there in Baltimore. So, of course, it's the new FM station, so they're... pushing us out there to go do everything.
Yeah.
So I don't remember what they called it. We were some bikini contest or I don't remember.
Back
what
when DJs lived large. Man.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We were doing something at some bar. And it's me and Steve Hill. And we had done the show from the bar, so 11 to 3. And then whatever we were hosting that night, some bikini contest or whatever, didn't start till like 7:38. So we weren't going to drive all the way back. And then get back out to the bar. So we're just like, okay, well, we'll get some lunch. We'll hang out here, whatever. So we do all that. So we've been at this place all day. And I am exhausted. We finish the thing. It's like 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Well, you know it peps you right up, Bill.
Well, we go to the back. Like, I guess it was actually in between rounds. Like, we had eliminated so many people. So we're on a break, and you know, it's a dance club basically type thing. It's a bar slash club. So they're doing a thing. We're in the back, and the owner's sitting back there with us and goes, hey, you guys want to do a bump? And I'm like, nah, I'm good. I wasn't running this time.
Oh.
I wasn't like, we're going to arrest it.
Yeah.
Get out. I was like, nah, I'm good. I'm good. Thanks, though. And my buddy Steve's like, nah, he goes, I've been smoking weed. He was a weed smoker. I didn't care, uh-huh. whatever. He's like, nah, I've been stepping out and smoking weed. I'm good. He goes, I try not to mix my stuff. And he goes, oh, okay. You guys want a blowjob? And I'm like.
Like from you?
Well, yeah, exactly. I looked at him and said, nah, man, I'm definitely. And I'm looking, I'm like, dude, I've been watching you all night with all these. I was like, nah, I'm good.
Did this dude have like a beard and a robe? Because he sounds like Christ incarnate.
No. He goes. Oh, okay. He goes. Are you sure? And I was like, yeah, I'm good. And he goes, because she'll do it. And he just points at one of the waitresses. He goes, yeah. I get one from her all the time. She goes, she'll gladly come in and do it for you. He goes, give him a little coke. all good. I'm like, yeah, I'm not not really interested. I mean, she was hot, but I'm like,
where is this Baltimore?
Yeah.
Is that
so hot for Baltimore?
Is that bar still there?
No, I don't believe so. I think
I was going to say road trip, man.
No, no, no. I mean, it was so weird. Like, I'm like,
Baltimore.
Well, I'm just, it's true.
Says so little, but so much.
Yes. But I was just like, if I had said yes, am I going to have to get it here with Steve on one side and the owner on the other? Am I going to a back room? I thought about it later, like, how would that have worked?
Oh, I think that's
had
like,
I said yes.
That's like a choose your own adventure, life defining moment. Like, had you said yes, you would be our 45th president right now. Like, it would just be you in a 10 gallon hat.
I don't know about that, but I thought about it later. Like, what would you, where does that happen? Does it happen right there in the back room?
I think he probably cleans his plate and then, like, they leave and you do your thing. And then, like, you announce, like, cowabunga once you've finished and they walk back in.
I guess, but the thing is, does she get the bump of coke before or after? Like, does
if
she
it's
get
for
it,
me, yeah.
Does she get it after? Like, I say, yeah. Thumbs up. That was a good job. Give her a little extra.
No.
Or is she going to have to get
I don't think she's trained like Pavlov's dog.
I don't know. It sure seemed like it.
It's like, Trixie, blowjob. Trixie, blowjob.
The
good
way
girl.
He made it sound
really?
That he was just like, well, she'll do it. He goes, all I got to do is give her a little cocaine. She'll be on it.
This is my morality.
Like, oh, my God.
I would have been fine if she has to get high to blow me because that just makes sense. But if she blows me and then it's
the
for
coke?
A bump, oh, I would, my tummy would hurt after that.
Well, I was creeped out, and I tell you, I left immediately after we were done. I just remember because they're like, "Oh, you're gonna hang out? You finished with the, you know, with the bikini contest, whatever."
Yeah.
And I'm like, gotta go. Not because I was worried about the cops coming in, like at the fraternity party. It was, this is creepy.
See, that's a dude who wants people to be his friend.
Yes.
And he's going about it entirely the right way.
Like, yeah.
Just,
I mean,
baiting that hook hard.
I was just like, nah, I was single.
I
could have done it, but I was like,
I would like to think there were days in my life if they caught me at the right time, I'd be like, yes, coke, yes, blowjob. Like, we're doing this.
I would have never done the coke, the blowjob. I mean, had it not been one of those, oh my God, you just offered somebody who you have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy had met me that day. So why he thought, maybe just because I was in radio, that he thought, oh, this guy's cool. I'll offer him cocaine. I mean, for all he knows, I would have been like, yeah, no, I'm good. And by the way, I'm calling the cops. I mean, he didn't know. It was a hell of a chance he took, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because do I come across as a coke guy?
No, not so much. You're perky, but a caffeine kind of perky.
Yeah, right.
No.
Not a coke perky.
What's funny,
perky.
I don't know if there's a...
I don't have the sniffles.
There's not a
less... paranoid.
Blowjob conducive drug than coke as well.
I don't even know.
Well, for me, I immediately have to drop a deuce. I've done it a couple times in my life. Now the kids are cutting it with fentanyl, so you can't even touch it anymore.
You can't even touch it. The kids
they've taken away my party powder. Yeah. But I would hit it and immediately you've got like this half-hearted thing going on down there. Like it's kind of up, but it's not enough to get anything going. And you have to crap.
Yeah,
so it's just a whole swamp down there.
I had buddies of mine tell me that they've gotten blowjobs and the girl would sprinkle it on their dick.
That would be fun.
No!
That would be fun.
And I was like, why? And they're like, well, and again.
I've played Vice City. That looks fun.
I have no idea how true this is. They may be complete liars. They claim that it will actually soak into you, I guess, and that you
mucus
can get
membrane.
A high from it as well. I guess
it's the same as your schnoz.
Does that
the
work?
Tip of it.
Okay,
yeah,
all
yeah.
right. Because they say, oh yeah, you sprinkle it, she gets high, you get high, you get blown. I'm like, that's not for me.
I mean, it's not the preferred method of putting it in one's body. You wouldn't just wet the sink top and just kind of sweep yourself back and forth.
I don't know
through it.
I don't know, but yeah. So I.
I think chemically that story checks out. Yeah.
I have no idea.
At the very least, you have a great story. Yeah, I mean,
yeah. And I have to figure he's not lying because nobody called him out on it. And, you know, other guys that were there were like, yeah. Yeah, I've seen it happen. I'm like, okay.
All right, we're gonna do some Bill Nye stuff on the next episode.
I won't be here for that. You'll have to put something up over the window behind
we'll
us.
Just
too.
Do some pixelation.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So yeah, I don't know how we got on that. But
well, it started because I was doing coke and getting head.
Right.
And you walked into the studio.
That's right. That's right.
Like, that takes me back.
But yeah, so I'm sure. I mean, if you're going up to New York and doing all this stuff,
I finished a 8-week Upright Citizens Brigade improv class.
Nobody.
Like 201.
I have to figure there have to be people that are located there in New York that uh-huh. you're doing this with that have just as wild of stories as that. There have to be. It's New York.
It's New York, yeah. And
they're actors and or actresses and or comedians. Comedians have some effed up stories.
Most of them have those backgrounds, yeah. A lot of them. In fact, that's kind of where I suffer my acting when it comes to the scenes, because they're all drama kids for the most part, from what I gather. And I'm just like, hey, I'm guy who's left hand farts.
It's a really bad character, actually.
I don't know. Shake his hand. See what happens.
You usually shake with your right hand.
That's true. That's
maybe you should be right-handed guy.
Well, you know what? You take the classes then, Smarties. Stop backseat improving. Yeah, I'd been going up the last 8 weeks.
Nice.
Of bus trips up there.
You taking the dollar bus? How do you go?
Oh, it's a Greyhound mostly.
Okay.
Or our bus on the way there and Greyhound on the way back. Okay. It's about 45 total.
It's not awful.
No, not bad. Working toilets most of the time.
That's good.
Don't do Peter Pan.
That's good.
They can't brag about working toilets.
Do you try not to sit next to people?
I was going with a friend.
Oh, okay.
I would have been too lazy otherwise.
Yeah, that works, because if you go solo, oof, that's dangerous.
It's horrific. I mean, we've done it where she and I would each take one row to ourselves,
you know, like two seats,
and you have to barricade. You have to be
smart. You got to put your shit down.
Yeah,
and
your backpack and just dump everything.
Right.
And just, yeah, I would do that or sit next to her.
So let me ask you, you're up there doing improv stuff.
Yeah.
You're on stage.
Yeah.
At some point, and I know you've just been classes, so you guys aren't, I don't know. I don't know who the big improv groups are. I mean, I know there's Second City, and I guess SNL isn't, it's more scripted than improv, SNL
but
now.
But
they do some of it, yeah.
A lot of their cast, especially in the day, was
right.
improv
yes.
people.
Yes, exactly.
Now it's like YouTube stars or something.
But I've been to, there's a place, and it's been years, but there is a comedy club in Arlington somewhere. In like the top of a mall, to tell you how bad. It's not like an improv.
Top of a mall.
I don't even know. It's in a mall.
Really?
Yeah.
There was a comedy club in a mall.
It's bad.
Like next to a Nordstrom's type thing?
Yeah, really. Honestly.
Wow.
I want to say, I don't know. I don't think it was Boston Mall. But anyway, one of those down there. And they did like an improv thing where it's like, oh, the 8 o'clock show is our family show.
Uh-huh.
And the 11 o'clock show is our naughty show.
Nice.
And so we went because I like comedy. I had a real hard time with it.
Oh, most of it's very bad.
It was.
I don't want to be a dick. I'm a practitioner.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, is at some point, and I'm sitting there, again, as a radio guy, maybe I'm too cynical as far as like.
Radio. What we do really is just cynical improv.
Well, no, I understand that. But I'm just saying, like, seeing this setup for a joke
uh-huh.
a mile away, and you go, oh, don't do it. Please don't do it. Please don't. Oh, you did it. You suck. Why did you? And then everybody around is like, ah! Oh! And I'm like, freaking kidding me? How did you not? But at some point when you're on stage and you see one of your partners going down a road that you're, do you ever go, oh, no.
You can try to corral them.
So bad.
You can. It's improv. You really just have to roll with it. You can't do what's called negating the premise. If you walk out here and you're like, hello, I am a tire technician. I can't say like, no, you're not. We're in a bowling alley.
No, I don't. I mean, I get that. I get that you got to roll with it. But I mean, in the back of your mind at some point, are you just going, this is going to go nowhere and this is awful?
Well, just in general, you can, for me at least, I commit a cardinal sin in improv where I'm like, okay, this is where I want to take the scene. And then if it doesn't go there, I'm like, why can't you read my mind, you bastard? So that is, you're supposed to be much more in the moment. And that's
right.
What I respect about it. And it's weird because the people who are truly good at it, there's no happy middle. You're either, at least for me, and I'm very cynical, I'm a piece of crap. You're either like, get off the stage, this sucks.
Right.
Or you're doing things where I'm like, I hate you, I'll never be that good. What you're doing is wizardry.
Well, guys like from Whose Line Is It Anyway? Colin Mochrie.
Yeah.
Those guys. Geniuses. I watch it, and then the British version, when they had the British guy. Do you know the show? Are you familiar?
I know the show. I didn't know there was a British one.
Well, that's where it started from. Not the one with Drew Carey.
Okay.
You've seen that one.
I know there's a Drew Carey one. And
right.
Yeah, most of his cast are actually.
Right.
Yeah,
he got them from the British version, the BBC version of Whose Line Is It Anyway? Colin Mockery. There's a bunch of different guys, a couple of American guys that were always on it. Ryan Stiles.
Diedrich Bader.
Yep. So
why do I know that name?
I don't know. But these guys were amazing. And then you would see, like, the host of the original show would never get involved. He was just the guy who'd be like, okay, here's your premise. Go. And they would kill it. And then I watched Drew Carey jump into some of the scenes. He can't keep up with them.
No, it takes years.
And he was
doesn't matter if you're a stand-up. It's completely different training.
But he was one of the guys I'm like, why would you embarrass yourself? You've got a pretty good show, because that was when he had the Drew Carey show. Pretty good. Why would you even attempt to keep up with some of those guys that were just 10 out of 10? Same thing like Wayne Brady used to be on the show. And Wayne Brady does a pretty good job, but he still wasn't the level of these guys. These guys were
no, once you get
tense.
your 10,000 hours or whatever at improv, you do things that truly, I think it's the most fascinating stuff
so
in
quick.
Entertainment.
So
that,
quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something about it being unscripted just mesmerizes me. Like, you can be the best stand-up on earth, but somewhere in the back of my head, you wrote that. This isn't real. You're lying to us.
Yeah, and that's why I like guys that will veer off and aren't afraid to... I love stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge fan.
You like what Michael Richards did on stage? That one.
Yeah, he was fantastic. I'm not a huge fan of the guys who just go, hey, how's everybody doing? Welcome. Good to see everybody here in Cleveland. Hey, what's your name? I'm just right into the crowd work.
Yeah.
And I know it takes a little bit of skill to be able to take whatever they say to you and turn it into stuff, but I also figure you've pretty much worked out in your head already.
You have like a stock 10 things.
Yeah, there's only so many jobs that somebody's going to have that you're not going to necessarily get surprised with. Now, I will say maybe one of the reasons that I have a less appreciation for guys that do that is we were at the Improv when I was in college. A whole bunch of us went down to the Improv, and it wasn't one of the headliners. It was one of the early guys. And I actually felt bad for him at the time, but he ended up winning us all over. We kind of won him over. So he's doing the, hey, everybody, good to see you. There's a big crowd back at that table. What you guys doing here? We're like, yeah, we're all college
fans. Weisberg, that's a Jew name. Yeah.
So he's doing, you know, shucking and jiving with us and everything. And he turns to my one friend and he goes, hey, what's your name? Name's Rob. Hey, oh, Rob, thanks for coming out. These are all your friends at the table. Yeah, these are my friends. Laugh. Make me laugh, clown. Come on. Perform for me. Clap the cymbals, monkey. Don't get me involved in it. I paid to see you. I'm not part of the show. You know, that kind of thing. My buddy's kind of giving him attitude. And he goes, hey, Rob, what do you do for a living? And deadpanned. And this is when you know that the guy was going to be in trouble. My buddy goes, I'm a plumber. What do you do? And the guy went. The guy just defeated. Just ate it right on. I mean, had probably never had anybody come back with it. I mean, just.
Like that punch Ali gave Liston.
I just felt awful because I'm looking at my buddy. I'm like, you're going to get us kicked out of here. You're not supposed to heckle the guy. And I'm like, oh, my God. And he was just like, yeah, well, you know, I'm trying to make this thing work. It was like all of a sudden it became a therapy session.
Yeah.
Like he's just like, well, I've been doing this. This is what I've done. I've gave up this career. And we're like, okay, didn't ask.
That's really bad.
Didn't want to know. So it goes on. And so my buddy, you know, we were drunk, of course.
Of course.
Well, so he gets up, go to the bathroom, and the guy didn't learn his lesson the first time, sees him get up, and again, crowd work. And he's like, hey, wait. Rob, is that you? Where are you going? And he goes, I'm going to the bathroom, wait for the real comedians to come.
Jesus Christ.
I was like, oh my God, what are you? I'm like, felt bad. Now I'm now going from laughing to feeling bad.
So that's a shtick. Now you buy his CDs.
Well, he finishes up and goes backstage. And I mean, he after that first one where he said, what do you do? The crowd immediately turned on it. Just a meet, and he never really got anybody back.
You don't need that in life.
I know. We didn't do it on purpose, buddy.
No, I'm not blaming you. He doesn't belong there.
My buddy did not. If he had talked to me, I would have never thought to say that to the guy. I would have played along. No big deal. Because even back in college, I knew that I wanted to be in radio. I knew that I. So I kind of. I'd like to say that I get it. Like, I feel like people like us kind of get. You've done stand up. So you kind of get, you know, that you don't want to screw with the guy.
No, hell no.
My buddy was a plumber. He didn't give a rip.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be part of the show. So he's a pretty funny guy, but he's very deadpan. So he just laid into him and was just like, I'm a plumber. What do you do? Boom, bomb, over. So we finish up, and the guy, of course, you know, he does his thing. The MC comes back out. He goes around to the back, and during the second comedian, he comes and sits at the table, like, right behind us. We were kind of off to the side. And I'm like, oh, my God, he's going to – I was like, this could be a problem. Like, this guy might be really, really angry and is going to confront us. So the second guy finishes. There's a little bit of a break. The MC comes out. All right, we're going to take about a 5-10-minute break before we bring out our headline or whatever. So the guy comes over, sits down with us, and he looks at my buddy. He goes, that may have been the funniest heckle I've ever been a part of. He goes, I've been doing this for a while. He goes, I've been to a lot of comedy clubs. He goes, I have never, ever seen anybody come back with that. Can I buy you guys a beer? And we were we're like, yeah. Now we feel bad. Let us buy you a beer. That's what we ended up doing. He ended up sitting at the table with us and drinking with us that night. And I was like, that guy will probably, and I don't remember his name, so he obviously didn't become famous.
Jerry Seinfeld.
But I was like, that guy's going to be okay because he ate the grenade, owned up to it.
Good for him.
Said that he got beat. Literally said, you got me and I was done, but that was awesome. Thank you. I've learned. Can I hang out with you guys for the rest of the night? And he did, and it was a blast. But it's one of those things where you go, why do you ever take that chance? As a comedian, you better have everything covered. He didn't have that covered. And to me, that was, like you said, it was Ali. You dropped your guard and he clocked you and you had no retort. So I'm hoping that guys that do crowd work are much better than that.
I don't touch crowd work because, I'm not that far along, and B, like, I worry that I would just, like, space out and immediately just, like, go, like, racial and sexuality and just everything.
But
why
can't you, though? If it's funny, why can't you?
I would, I worry I just would do it, like, deadpan and anger. No, I don't.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're not going to, like you said, you're not going to do like Michael Richards and start screaming the N-word at the audience. I mean, that's not you. So you wouldn't do that. But if you made...
I'd mumble it. I'm bad with enunciation.
If you wanted to make fun of or joke about somebody's ethnicity as a group, not about that individual, which I think that's where people mess up. I think if you attack the individual on whatever fault that they have, if you want to call it a fault or whatever situation, whatever it may be, I think that's where it goes too far. But if you can talk about an entire group, if you talk about everybody from Alabama rather than you dumb hick from Alabama, I think if you start it as a whole group, because let's face it, we all apologize for Alabama and Florida all the time. But we all know that people in Florida, there are some good people in Florida. We don't mean them. And they know we don't mean them. They get it, too. They know we mean the rest of Florida when we make Florida jokes. When you talk about Florida man.
You're not talking Tim Tebow. Exactly. He's a shining knight.
He is a shining example. But so when you're doing that improv stuff, when you're up there and it's starting to go horribly wrong.
Yeah.
Do you tend to pull back? I'm assuming there's more than one or two of you on the stage. Obviously, there's got to be more than one of you on the stage, or it wouldn't be an improv. That's a one-man show.
So it was the monologist.
Right.
It was two groups. I was in a group of five, supposed to be two groups of six, in essence, for our grad show.
So you guys were one down, one short.
We were one down,
playing a man down.
We had to.
Good.
Exactly. It was power play.
Good fight.
The whole way.
Good fight. That's good. Got to kill off that penalty.
And it was not easy. A lot of us, I think, were kind of newish to it. I've had a little more experience. It's a weird thing in improv where you can tell it's very cutthroat, but they want your teachers, to have a good time. So you keep coming back to these classes. They can't just say, like, what are you dumb?
You're awful. Get out.
Yeah. Was your soft spot pressed? This is embarrassing. So our final class was Saturday. Performance is Sunday. Our final class, the teacher.
She performed in front of an audience.
Yeah. Small audience of pretty much people's friends and family. Yeah.
Like, all right. That's still, I mean, look, more guts than I would have to get up there and improv.
One guy had out his very attractive girlfriend, and perfect. Like I my ex was not nearly as attractive, and I still wouldn't bring her out because I'm like, I'm not going to give you this ammo.
You don't bring anybody that could be an enemy out there. Yeah, no.
Like seriously, like his girlfriend was hot. Like he should have just posed next to the Scrooge McDuck vault, and that's all. he had balls of steel, being like, "Hey, watch this grad show, yeah,
something."
Something voluminous if he had that girl.
Yeah.
So
thick wallet or something.
He's a great guy. It was messy, but we got through it. That's the beauty of improv.
Sounds like first time I had sex. Messy, but we got through it.
It happened. And our teacher, weirdly enough, was not there for our grad performance. We have a sub step in. The UCB thing, especially because those teachers are kind of sought after for acting jobs and stuff like that. So I guess she probably had like a paying gig elsewhere, and it's just like, arrivederci.
Do you remember her name? Has she done work? I mean, would we know her?
Something or other. So I've had two UCB teachers and a couple of subs. One of the dudes who I've had. You've seen in every HBO show.
He's that guy.
Like a little bit part. Yeah.
He's that guy. Okay.
And the rest of them, it's some sort of pipeline to Funny or Die. So if you've ever seen Funny or Die videos where it isn't like Zoe Saldana, you know, talks to John Krasinski or whatever.
Right.
But you're like, oh, those are like kind of attractive people that act. Where did they come from? They came from UCB probably.
Okay.
Like, that is the one gig they all seem to get. So I've seen her in a couple Funny or Die videos. That's about it.
Okay.
And she's really nice, but it was just a little MF-y to bail on us grad show.
Yeah, but if you had an audition or something, I mean,
I don't begrudge her a damn thing.
If it's an audition or seeing you slackers graduate from your improv class, sorry.
She chose wisely. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that entire world. A couple years ago when I first started getting into this, I was like, that's the fame pipeline. You go to UCB, that's legit clown college. Like, you come out and Lorne Michaels is waiting to shake your hand and put you on the cast. And a couple years removed, I realized, like, these guys all have day jobs.
Yeah.
Not much is happening for a lot of them. I'm not saying they're untalented. It's just a glut. There's a lot of people. Amy Poehler and all of them, Will Ferrell, they came through in, like, the late 90s.
Yeah.
It's been 20
even
years.
Before that problem.
Yeah. Oh,
I
yeah.
Guess.
Well,
yeah.
Phil Hartman came through, what's the one
oh, yeah.
in LA? Groundlings.
The Groundlings.
He
yep.
came through, like, you know, freaking late.
40 years ago, probably. Yeah.
Very close early 80s or something like that. So,
you had Robin Williams and all of them doing all of their stuff back then.
Just,
I mean, that's.
We've hit market saturation. So right. Everyone's coming out. There's nothing to do. I'm now thankful every day that I run my own business. I can just work during the week, zip up to New York, pretend this is my life, be like, yeah, I'm one of the guys, and then come back here and let yokels into their cars all of the live long day. Thankful as hell for it.
So when you didn't see anybody in your group then that you were like, wow, that girl is really talented. I may see her doing something someday.
There are a couple people. Like, everyone was to varying degrees competent. Like, the people that weren't particularly good, it might have been their legitimate second class. And for a second class, I was like, that wasn't bad. There are a couple people, one of the girls there, I think, had done the entire Second City curriculum already.
Oh, wow.
So she just murdered every scene. You're like, you should be teaching us almost. She was great. There are a couple other people that were really good. I mean, no one ate balls for a second class, especially.
Okay.
I was, you know, you get a certain pool of people, I guess, in New York, like they are
right,
more
right. They're trying to. Yeah.
Yeah.
See,
that's their
I'd
dream.
Be afraid that I would do something like that. And that I wouldn't be good at it. And that would bother me because I feel like I was a pretty competent actor. Even my high school career. I feel like I could do that. I feel like I tell a decent story.
I'm sure you'd do fine. Like, after, do you know how many years you've done radio? This is just improv, dude. This is just yappy improv without a character.
Yeah, but that's the thing is I would be afraid. This is easy because I can just tell stories, and I have so many weird
experiences. Just do it with a voice like this, and then that's your character. That's it. It's not, I don't know.
I guess.
The radio, it's easy to segue into improv from the radio. Like you,
you say that all the improv people that are watching this now are shaking their fist at you. It's not easy, damn you, beard.
The grease man's licking his lips. Yes, and lawman.
Oh, Doug.
Good old Douglas Drag. Oh, but the best part was we had the last class, our teacher, I guess to take some of the stress off us, is like, look, the last two performances, because we were just running through our show, Last two performances, forget all the rules. Just goof off on stage, which a lot of people, I think, gravitate toward because they want improv to be fun and goofy. I'm one of those few people that's like, no, I want the rules. This is a mental game to me.
Right.
So they were living it up and kind of took that attitude into the show. So we forgot a lot of our training.
Oh, no.
Our
and it
sub,
just devolves into nothingness.
Our sub, like, was the harshest, I'm not kidding, maybe not a positive thing to be said. His teaching style was just, this is what you did wrong. This is what you did wrong. This is what, and like for me, given how I was raised, like an immigrant kid who was like screamed at by Indian tutors half my life, like that's fine. Like that's mother's milk to me. Like I'm good with that.
Other people were breaking down.
Other people were legit like, I'm going to strangle you in the parking lot. But me, I'm like, yes, you're right. I did fail in 8 of 10 ways.
So what run through me your characters that you had to do. Give me one of the scenes that you guys in this improv group put together and wowed everybody in New York.
I did a character. I came out, a guy had said his dad was a football coach. He was a guy who he was a Southern black dude, and then like he was gay. So I could only imagine that was a fun
This
experience.
Was a guy that you were doing the improv with?
Yeah, he was on my team. So you come out and you do your monologue talking about your life.
Like your actual life or your character life?
So someone would come out. The way it works, you get a word from the audience. Our word was dinosaur. I don't know how the hell
Barney.
Am
I good? Am I good at it now?
Yeah.
That was pretty good, right?
Pretty much you're 401 ace at this point.
Yes.
So he comes out and you then listen to someone do a monologue for a couple of minutes. What did dinosaur make them think of? And you're looking for details because that's going to inform your scene.
Oh.
So I did a monologue about how, despite all the interesting stuff that we have in the city to do, every year we just saw the dinosaur museum. Like, do you
it's
remember
fair
growing
point.
Up?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Every year, they're just like, these little bastards love their triceratopses.
That's right.
And that was it. And so,
that's right.
Like,
the woolly mammoth in the mid, right?
Exactly.
When you first walked in, right?
I've been to that museum 18 times.
Yeah.
I still have not seen half the monuments in the city, but I can tell you where the damn tarantula cages are in the Smithsonian.
Oh, yeah, I remember that too.
Yeah, exactly. You remember Little Insect World Nook.
Yeah.
Because they took you there every
that's
damn year.
Right.
So he comes out. And like he's like, yeah, you know, my dad was like a football coach, and I'm like,
was he a big dude? Like, was he
somewhat?
Did he look like he might have played football at some point?
Like, maybe he could have done high school ball or something like that.
Right.
But you're thinking like, oh, I'm sure this was great for you. But in the back of my head, I'm like, football dad coach. That's probably going to be my scene. So I come out, and another dude hops out with me, and he's my scene partner. He's stepped up to the plate.
Mm-hmm.
And I just start screaming at him to, like, eat his peas and crap like that because I'm Coach Dad. So that was the character, and I just scream at him as a coach.
And you're screaming at the guy who had the
It's not him.
Coach.
It's
oh,
not
it's a different
him.
Guy.
It's a different guy.
So the guy's off stage, and he's probably fuming at you because making fun of his life.
I would hope not. I mean, he's putting it out there so we can use it as fodder.
Okay.
If he's... I mean, it'd be hilarious if he was human.
He's probably so upset. He's probably like, this is my worst nightmare. This was my life every day, and you're making fun of it.
I think you put it out there so people can run with it for a scene.
Yes, all right.
Because I put out that national, you know, Smithsonian scene. Mm-hmm. And,
did anybody use it?
Yeah, a woman used it to inform a scene where she was, like, in Paris or something on a honeymoon, but was just interested in, like, eating at the KFC there. Or something. Because, like, you're in a classy place, a.k.a. D.C., but you're just doing classless crap, a.k.a. just going to the damn dinosaur museum.
Is the dinosaur museum classless?
The fifth time it is.
Oh, I guess.
Before that, it's amazing. Yeah,
I was going to say.
It's incredible, but you can only, at a certain point, it's like letting your kids eat nuggets every day of the week. Like,
fair point.
It's Saturday. You get your nuggies then.
Although KFC in Paris sounds delightful.
Oh, I'm sure they do amazing things with it. When I was in Greece, I ate a Greek McDonald's. Like that part in
what
Pulp Fiction.
What was that like?
Oh, there's like feta on the burgers. They had a lamb burger. They had euros and crap. Yeah, it was amazing.
See, I'm curious because I'm going, I've done a lot of traveling like down in the Caribbean.
Uh-huh.
Been to Mexico a few times.
And you've never Puerto done Rican. Cocaine.
I have not. That's true.
Such a tourist.
I'm going, it really is. It's terrible. I'm going to Spain.
Okay.
For the first time in like less than 2 weeks.
That's awesome.
We leave on July 31st. I'm going for like 8 days.
That is amazing.
I have zero idea. I know I'm going with George Mason because I still do their men's basketball.
Okay.
So the basketball team is taking their European tour. You're allowed to do it once every 4 years. So we fly into like Madrid and then we go to like Toledo, not Ohio. Who knew that there was a Spanish town named Toledo?
I forgot that. Yeah.
I had no idea. And then we go to like, I think it's Valencia on the coast and then up to Barcelona and then we come home.
Just Google the best places to eat on cheap.
I have zero idea what I'm getting into. I mean, I know we're going to play a couple basketball games over there, so I'll just get on the bus and follow them along. But, like, on my off day, I'm just a dumb American. What am I going to... I mean...
Just find two or three sites and find, like, three restaurants. Make eating your priority. That is my thing when I... Like, in New York...
See, I almost want to go to, like... I wonder what it... What's a McDonald's like in Spain? I'd like to know.
They're all over the place. I didn't have to look for McDonald's. There's just one in Athens.
I know,
Athens,
but that's what I'm saying. I'm like, maybe I should. I mean, I could get McDonald's here, but is it the same?
No, they maybe have different crap there. They have absolutely different crap there.
So maybe I want to experience.
You should.
The McDonald's in Spain. I don't know.
I mean, you don't have to clean your plate. You can eat two bites of their weird ostrich burger or whatever the hell it is and then bin it and just say you did it. Like, it's 2018, you just need one bite for your Instagram picture. And
no Instagram.
You're done.
No, nothing like that.
See, man, that's why the kids know you're old, because you don't have a Snapchat.
Well, I don't have Snapchat. I don't have Instagram. I'm not on Facebook. I've kind of cut all of that out, and I feel like I'm much happier.
You're much better for
it. I feel like my vote wasn't influenced in this past election.
That's true.
With all this nonsense going on. But, yeah, I'm... The only thing I miss out on, and my girlfriend is still on Facebook, which, cool, whatever. I mean, look, billions of people are. So I'm not sitting here going, why are you doing on Facebook?
She's cheating, dude. Yeah, go through that stuff.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care about her being on Facebook. I would care about the cheating. So every once in a while, she'll be like, oh, did you see so-and-so and them are having a party on Sunday? And I'm like, no, those are my friends. How do you know about this? Oh, it was on Facebook. You know I'm not on Facebook. Why would you?
Yeah.
Why would you approach me with this idea of, did you know about this thing that was posted on Facebook? No.
Like you're doing the weird
thing. No, I don't.
And going through your friend's profiles without your own profile. No,
I have no idea. So I'm completely happy with that. I don't need Instagram because everybody tells me it's merely pictures of food. When did that? And I don't mean to sound like a hack comedian. I honestly want to know, how is that appealing to anyone? How is that? How?
Thing.
But do you care? Like, you and I are friends.
Yeah.
Right? I've got your number on my phone.
It's true.
If I'm in Spain and I'm at a restaurant, are you going to care? Are you going to, if I just sent you a picture, look, here's a picture of my food, are you going to be like,
if it looked really weird?
What the hell is, yeah. But if it's just a normal, hey, here's a chicken dish I got in Spain,
I don't care, no.
You're going to be like, what the hell's wrong with you?
I want like tentacles or fins.
Right.
Like if you're sending me a picture, yeah, better.
Yeah, you're going to be like, why would I seek it out? Why would I be like, gee, I wonder what the beer did for dinner tonight?
Yeah.
Is there people that post just...
Answers, I ate Domino's on my toilet.
Right. Well, I was going to say, there's going to be, hey, look, we went to Applebee's. Good for you. The whole world doesn't need to know. And again, I know this is a hack stand-up routine, but that's how I feel about it.
I feel
it.
Like it's just smoking out a commie right here, because I mean, who doesn't want to see boneless ribs?
Fair enough. I might be on that Mueller probe on that list. By the way, not to get too far into the politics.
Yeah, sure.
Because this is not what we're doing. And it's not, I don't like doing it either. And I'll straight out front, I did not vote for Trump. I did not vote for Hillary. I didn't vote for either one of them.
Okay.
So you can still be with her. I don't give a rip. You can be a Trumpster, a MAGA person. I don't give a rip. Whatever.
I was not her biggest fan, but I saw all this coming. So I was like,
yeah, right. Eh. I mean, again, I get it, but we don't. I mean, she would have been a disaster too. Let's be honest. She's crazy.
I'm not her biggest fan.
Right.
It
wouldn't have been this type of disaster.
No.
But it still would have been a mess. It's a horrible choices. Both of them were horrible, horrible choices. I mean, it wasn't great.
It wasn't our finest hour.
I mean, I think, honestly, not knowing who ran against who back in like the 1800s a lot of the time or whatever, in my lifetime, and probably even before that, maybe even going back to like Eisenhower, FDR, these may be the two worst candidates that ever ran against each other.
I mean, just objectively speaking, like you can even not prognosticating in terms of like, this is what she would do. She was just like a shockingly flawed candidate.
Yes, that's what
like,
I mean.
It's been 20 years of conservative radio, like saying like the Clintons have like eyes wide shut parties where like they rape and kill children.
Right. Comet pizza and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
and then
ridiculous.
They're like, but who cares? She's running. Like, why?
Yeah, you can go back and everybody be like, oh, what about Nixon? Well, before Watergate, Nixon had been a vice president for 8 years. He was at least a competent candidate when he ran in 68 and won in 72. And we know what happened, but it's not like he was a complete buffoon. He had been the vice president for 8 years under Eisenhower, for those of you who don't know your history. You know, I can't think of a matchup that you would go, oh, these two people are both just awful people.
Well, not just that. Like, I'm sorry, there is some sexism in the country still. Like,
sure.
Literally anyone with a penis could have beaten Donald Trump.
And yeah, maybe.
I think he won by so few, like, just so many, like, slim margins here and
there. But here's the thing, though. I also think any competent woman that wasn't as toxic as her would have beat the crap out of him.
I personally, it's like looking at what happened. I'm really not going to speak to her being bad because I'm just like, it couldn't have been this. It couldn't have been this.
Right.
I'm not wildly against her in terms of like a lot of people who have been around her were just like off stage. She's really like chill and like likable. And they're always said that with the caveat of like, why can't she put that across on stage?
She comes across as a shrill, lecturing.
It didn't work.
Wench.
Yeah. It was like, it always felt to me like an introvert who had learned to fake extroversion.
You know what? That's a great observation.
And it just
actually
wasn't natural. Whereas Trump was the guy who was saying yes to the cocaine and blowjobs.
right. Like, and he's one of those guys that, and this is the fascinating thing about all, it is a really, it's interesting not having a dog in the fight on either side, because I say it all the time on my Twitter page all the time. I hate 90% of politicians. I don't care which side of the aisle you're on. I hate 90% of them because they're only saying what they think they need to say to be elected. They really don't give a rip. Either way, they honestly don't believe a lot of the stuff that they're saying. They just know I've got an R next to my name or a D next to my name, so this is what I'm supposed to say, and that's how I get elected. The other 10%, I mean, who knows? There's got to be, I'm just holding out hope that they actually believe what they say one way or the other.
Like the guy running Comet Pizza.
Yes, exactly.
He's down for the cause.
Exactly. But so not having a dog in the fight, I find it fascinating that all of these people that were on the Democrat side, left side, whatever you want to call it, progressive side, 5 years ago, they loved Donald Trump. They loved him. He was on The Apprentice.
Oh, he's
stroking them checks.
Buffoon, yeah.
He was fine. No big deal. Hey, it's great. And then he gets elected. And he wasn't supposed to win. And all of a sudden, they're angry at him because he won. I mean, it's just like, wait a minute.
I love ODB as a rapper, but if he was my president, I might have a couple problems.
I understand that.
And he's dead. So.
But you wouldn't have been, even when he was running, they weren't like, we hate this guy. It wasn't until he actually won that all of a sudden it was, we hate this guy.
I think it amped
it amped up towards the end with the grab him by the pee and all.
Yeah.
I get all that. But there wasn't this vitriol of, he won and now we have to do everything in our power to destroy him. They just figured he's an asshole, he'll lose. That's what it was. The last month, it just felt like he's an asshole, he'll lose, and then he'll be done. He's only doing this to advance his brand, whatever. And then the night that he won, the videos on YouTube that you can go and see the meltdown from the people, and again, not having a dog in the fight, I loved every one of them, just sobbing uncontrollably. I found it hysterical.
I mean, I was not particularly happy when it went down. Like,
I was stunned. I was stunned because I was like, you cannot be, this happened?
Yeah.
This guy?
It was very.
This guy won?
I hate the word surreal. It's overused. Yeah,
but there was a part of me, because I'm not a Hillary Clinton fan, because again, I just feel like every time she's talking to me, she's lecturing me, and I just want to go, shut up. Leave me alone, please. Stop already, all right?
She's not very charismatic.
Your husband cheated on you. Don't lecture me.
I miss Bill. Anyone attacking Bill, I don't.
Yeah, he was fine.
I don't cotton to that one bit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I get it. He's got bad taste in women. He should have gone a little thinner, I think. But, you know,
I respected like what he and Schwarzenegger did. Like, to me, that's the manliest of manly, where they're just dumping it 3 feet away.
And they don't. Yeah, they don't care. You think my shrew wife is going to do anything about this? No, she's not. So tough break. In fact, she's probably jealous, quite honestly. But anyway, so they freak out.
Yeah.
They all freak out. They're losing. And they're still losing their minds every day, left and right, losing their minds. They're screaming. And again, I'm not a huge fan of Mitt Romney's.
Yeah.
But don't we all owe him an apology? Do we not owe him an apology?
For which what?
The debate in 2012 when he looked right in the camera and said, Russia is our biggest geopolitical threat. And Obama turned and went, the 80s called, they want their foreign policy back. F you, he was right.
But Obama was so charming about it. I mean, he was right. He should make t-shirts and sell them. I know he's rich as hell.
He should have a big thing and be like, told you. Just the thing, a picture of Mitt Romney, debate 2012. Told you.
Absolutely. No, that's like Babe Ruth pointing at the fences.
He called the shot.
Yeah.
And everybody laughed at him. Oh, yeah, that's funny.
Hindsight,
Not so funny anymore. And the other thing is, do we honestly believe, it shouldn't have happened. They should have done something, and Trump should own up to it. I think it's because he's a fragile ego. Everybody talks about how he's so thick-skinned, nothing bothers him.
He's the most thin-skinned egomaniac.
Yeah. So he doesn't want to admit that necessarily that maybe they helped him. If he could have ended all of this, if he just went, hey, look, they didn't hack into machines and change votes. We don't have any evidence of that. They did Facebook ads or whatever.
Yeah, they sure as hell wanted me, though.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, so fine, they think for whatever reason. I mean, this whole idea that they have some stuff on him, I'm not buying that.
Do you think they played
that long game that they years ago thought, you know, Trump may end up being president?
I think it's hard to believe anyone can plan that much in advance.
Right.
I would not be shocked from what I've learned of him that he was just like really bankrupted several years ago.
Could be.
His real estate was just dead at that point, and he was just making money putting his name on crap.
Of course. Well, that's all he's done for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And supposedly, like, they, in Russia, they just kind of dig him, like, as a retro thing almost.
Because he's Trump.
Yeah, so
if he wasn't president, wouldn't you want to hang out with him?
Seriously, wouldn't you? If he weren't president, yeah. I mean, I used to listen to him on Stern.
Right.
Like, he's just like Patrick Bateman minus the murder.
Zero filter.
Yeah.
Zero filter.
He's just a weird New York business dude that runs his yap, and it's fun. And he used to be quick-witted. Now I think he might legit be losing a little bit of it.
Everybody gets that way.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. Biden is. How screwed are we, by the way? That in 2020, you honestly could have Trump and then Sanders, Biden, and Hillary again fighting out
to
face
him.
They're all going to be 80.
It's pretty bad.
It's ridiculous.
Pretty bad.
But again, I go back to the whole Russian thing. Do we honestly believe that November, whatever it was, 7th, 8th, 2016, and I'm not one of these, pussy hat people that know the exact date and the exact time that he was
president.
I thought
you were going to say Rain Man people.
No, well, that too.
It's never crashed.
That too. But do we honestly believe that that was the first time that they ever tried to influence an election? Do we believe that? We don't think that the Russians have tried to do this for years.
I mean, they probably have on some level, of course.
Right.
But, like, I think this is the first time it was, like, effective. Like, this is kind of...
Maybe.
It's true.
We don't know.
I think this is, like, going from obsessing over Cindy Crawford, and then, like, this is the year where you're, like, legit waiting for her outside her house with the chloroform bag. Like, you're doing it this time.
But it could also be that because of all the new technology and all the different things, and all, I mean, Facebook became such a huge deal. This was the first time that they could really target, because of technology, specific areas and specific things. I think all along look, people don't want to talk about this. Ted Kennedy was talking to the Russians back in 1984, trying to get Reagan beat.
Oh, I don't doubt it. Yeah.
I mean, this stuff has been... The Russians back in the 60s were trying to keep Kennedy from winning. I mean, this is
afraid he'd bang all their women.
That's I mean, this is not anything new.
No, it's just...
So it's
you're
just
completely
it's
right.
Fascinating to me to see...
It's the first time by far it was this effective.
Well, and I think it's the first time by far that it's been out there and people have known. And it's now because you've got Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and Instagram, everything, you can spread all these things.
Can make something professional. I mean, clearly we can't make a professional looking show here, but someone could.
Right.
Like 10 years ago, you would have needed a radio station to do what we're doing, but we're just two dicks with mics now.
Right.
And this is a podcast that can be heard by whoever you want. Like, there are YouTube stars, there's Instagram ass models. Like, that's what technology
again,
is letting happening.
Baffling to me.
Like, you can just. That's what is letting happen. Like, you can do so much with so little.
Right.
So, like,
I agree.
20 guys at their little nerd computers were able to change an election just by, like, making fake profiles and crap. It's baffling. It's horrific, man. I don't know.
But I think we are being naive if we believe 2016 was the first time that A, they tried, or B, had any effect.
I think they've tried over and over. In terms of effect, you're right. We don't know that. Yeah.
We have no idea. We have no idea. But that's why I, again, not having a dog on either fight, because let's be honest, whoever's president, is it going to change your life that much? Does it really change your life that much?
In this case, it's pretty bad.
Well, is it? How has it changed? I'm dead serious. I'm not accusing you at all.
My healthcare is getting screwed more and more. Like, I pay for my own.
Well, I do too.
Yeah.
And mine has gone up. Probably 4 or 5 fold. At one point, I was paying, I think, $82 a month.
Uh-huh.
I'm now paying $400.
I'm $350.
That didn't happen from 2016 till now.
No.
That happened before that.
Mine keeps going up, though.
And mine will, too. Yeah. Mine's going to keep going up. And I'm not blaming Obama. I mean, it was his plan, whatever. I'm not blaming him. It's the reality of what it is. My point is, no matter who's in charge, whether Hillary won or Donald Trump won or Bernie Sanders won or whoever, Mitt Romney, doesn't matter, your bills are still going to be the same. You're still going to have the same responsibility. You have to get up every single day and grind it out with your business that you owned, and then you are still going to go up to New York and do your improv stuff, and it doesn't matter who's in the White House. That's what I try to explain to people all the time.
I mean,
I think
the president sets the tone, though, to some extent.
Does he?
Not this one. So
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, seriously.
I think this guy is someone who did not want him in to get back to the people being so shocked.
Again, I didn't vote for him.
Yeah,
so.
I know. A lot of us walked into this thinking like, okay, he's clearly not like dye-in-the-wool Republican. Like, he's probably had like a smattering of abortions. Like, he's had a sub-club's worth of abortions.
Sure.
Like, sure. He probably did a lot of blow. So I walked in being like, maybe he'll do some of the populist crap he's talking about, so some good things could happen here. And like, weirdly enough, he's gone like very right wing, with his agenda.
But I guess my thing is,
he doesn't care.
What's the part? And again, I'm no big fan of his, but unemployment's at its lowest in 40 some years. I saw that earlier today.
Yeah.
Including not just the white unemployment, black unemployment is at one of its lowest. Hispanic unemployment is at one of its lowest. I mean, the stock market has continued to go up. Those are the things that I care about. Am I making money with my investments in the stock market? As of right now, yeah. So my life has not changed that much. And for all this idea that everybody said when he got elected in 2016 that, oh, my gosh, you know, Biden said he wants to put you all back in chains. Black unemployment's down to its lowest it's been in years. He hasn't really gone out and done all these huge dramatic things. Again, it's watching people try to play whatever they want to believe. Nobody's looking necessarily right down the middle and going, yeah, you know what? In some of these things, he's an asshole. But other things, he's done okay. Like the whole thing at the border when they were screaming, oh, he's separating families. That started under Obama.
Yeah.
And again, I'm no fan of Donald Trump's. Wasn't a big fan of Obama's because, again, they're all liars. Nobody except the people that are making money on either side of it gives a rip about you and I, Beard. They don't. They don't care.
I think that's my problem, period, with the country. Like, I
agree.
It's just, I don't think the way technology is scaling, I don't think there's just going to be much in terms of jobs for people that much. Like, technology is taking more and more jobs, and there's more and more people on this planet. Like, this isn't hard math
to crunch
at all. And even if there are more jobs than there are, I mean, there are jobs reports. They're not great jobs overall from what I gather. You know, not enough to keep your head up one way or the other.
Is a crappy job better than no job? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, you're talking to guys who've been self-employed for years now. Man, I haven't been on a
me too
on a contract as a contract employee probably since 2009, 2010.
Same for me. It's been a decade.
Yeah, and none of it matters. I was under Obama for all those years. My life didn't change. My bills were the same. I still had to get up and pay my bills. I still had to find a way to make money. I still had to get up and go to work or whatever it was. It's not like if Hillary gotten elected that all of a sudden, I don't got to work no more. Ah, this is great.
I mean, if that were the case, I'd vote for
it. Yeah, but...
vote for it twice.
Well, of course, but that's not going to be the reality, no matter what any of these people want to pretend. And here's that woman that's running now up in New York. That's the new face. I can't remember her name.
Ocasio something.
Yeah, whatever her name
Alexandra
is.
Alexandra something.
Yeah, did you see her meltdown?
No.
Oh,
I don't care. She's hot. She can do whatever.
That's fine. She has no. She was on. It's an NPR show, actually.
Okay.
I guess one of their video shows. I think it was NPR. I think that's right. I don't remember. But they asked her about the occupation of Palestine or whatever, because she used that term. And they asked her about it. And, you know, what did you mean by that? And she goes, well, And it was dead quiet for about 5 or 6 seconds.
Pulled a Gary Johnson.
Oh, she. Yeah. What is Aleppo? I mean, she had. No, and I felt bad for it, but as I put out on Twitter, everybody's talking about how she's the new face. She's just like the rest of them. She's out there saying exactly what the people in her district want to hear for her to get elected. She's talking about, free education. Who pays for that?
We might be getting to the point, honestly, the size of nations in general where maybe governance just isn't all that possible.
I don't disagree.
We might be too big for it.
I'm actually okay if they want to break, and this will sound dumb, break it up into four sections of the U.S. The Soviet Union broke up, right? I mean, when they had to break everybody up and they got new countries, now they're trying to get them back.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, I mean, wouldn't be the first time a big country said, hey, you know what, this ain't working.
I'll be honest, on a visceral level, I know how I feel about this stuff, but intellectually, I don't have a ton to say. Like, I try to learn some stuff about it, but I don't spend
paying
attention.
It's one of those things that I'm not going to be out there protesting in the streets one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I just find it fascinating that neither side can admit at any point if the other side has a decent idea.
Yeah,
we've
gotten way too worked up.
I'm terrible. If somebody was trying to get my vote, it's hard because I'm pro-choice. Hey, I get it. Do what you want to do. I'm also pro-death penalty. Because you know what? If you're an awful human being and just an animal and slaughter people, you should die. What value do you have? In my opinion, what value do you have? I'm also pro-Second Amendment. But on the other side, I also get the fact that maybe we should have more common sense when it comes to, hey, these type of people shouldn't get guns and they shouldn't be allowed to have guns. And we've got to find some way to figure it out. It shouldn't be, hey, anybody, anywhere can grab a gun anytime. So I think I'm like a lot of people that just look at it and go, you don't have anything for me and you don't have anything for me on this side, because as soon as I wander away from all of these things that we will not, you have to be pro-life, you have to be this, you have to be that, or you can't be a part of us. Okay, well, then I won't be a part of you. And then I go over here to this side and I go, okay, what about you guys? I'm pro Second Amendment. I'm for gun ownership. Oh, no, no, you can't be. If you're not going to be this, this, and this, you can't be. Well, okay, now where am I then? I'm stuck here in the middle just watching you two yell at each other and tear each other apart and will never admit, hey, you know what? That was a pretty good idea on your side. Democrats, you got that one right. We should do it this way. And the Democrats will never look at it and say, oh, you know what? That's not a bad idea to take care of this situation. Republicans actually aren't that. It just doesn't happen anymore. And that's the annoying thing to everything. Level.
Somewhat on the local, but even that's sometimes kind of going away.
Yeah, but even that, I mean, the whole fight in Fairfax County about the transgender bathrooms. Hey, why can't we just let them? Look, you don't want to change in the locker room?
Oh, New York, it's legit just all unisex.
Right.
And I don't care.
Right.
But my buddy was freaked out. He's like, I took a dump and a girl walked by. I was like, whatever.
So whatever.
Caveman it up.
But that's for adults, that's okay.
Yeah.
Kids, okay, if you're not sure. Well, you know, if you're a girl who thinks she's a guy and you want to be there in that locker room changing, maybe some kids that, and they handle it much better than we probably would have back in the day, no question, because they're a little bit more enlightened when it comes to stuff. But there still may be kids that aren't comfortable with that. So now, do we make the, say, couple of eighth grade boys who are kind of like, I don't want to change in front of this person who I knew as Sally last year, and now she's Sam? That doesn't work for me. I'm not sure. I don't want her seeing me in my skivvies. But because we've said, no, it's okay. She identifies. So she, again, it's a tough spot, but why not just let Sally / Sam have her own place to dress? And then it's no big deal. I guess because now you're singling her out, but didn't she kind of do that herself by... I mean, again, it's hard. It's hard.
Too big for the show at this point.
I know, I'm just saying. But those are the type of fights that they're having instead of how can we get more funds for the school itself.
Just
you're worrying about less than 1% of the school population, and they fought tooth and nail for months while the budget sat there, and people like, hey, we need more computers for like everybody. That would probably help the situation more than. What do we have to do to convert the janitor's closet into a bathroom? I don't know. I'm just, maybe some more books? Maybe? I don't know. Anyway.
Well, shall we call it a day, sir?
That's up to you. I mean, I don't know how long you want to go or if we've gone too far.
No, I don't. I just wanted to recap the New York thing, which I mostly did. I toured WFMU.
Did you really?
I did the famous indie station up there.
That's cool.
It's amazing.
That is awesome.
It's a lot of people playing their own music and doing comedy talk, man.
I completely admire the fact that you have gone out to do this stuff. I think it's awesome.
Oh, thank you.
I think it's tremendous.
They also don't have to wear tops up there. Just saying.
They don't have to wear tops? Like the women?
Yeah, you can just be
in
topless.
In the studio?
No, well, in the studio too, but in the city. What? Like, there are people just wearing body paint. That was
I've seen that.
Enlightening.
Yeah, and, I've seen that when I've gone through Central Park.
Very few bras being worn in the summer.
Well, it's summertime
in New York.
Summertime.
But they just don't really care if it's kind of popping.
How much sightseeing did you get to do while you're up there?
Let's see. I did a little dicking around near the Statue of Liberty, the ferry to Jersey City to go to FMU. So I got to see some statue.
Okay.
Not a ton.
Probably not a lot of time.
I just went around the neighborhoods. I got to see more of that than I did the actual, you know, sights.
Nice.
I did a lot of eating.
There you go.
My friend came up with a great list of places we were going to hit. And like, this is this famous pizza. This is this famous cannoli. These famous cheesecakes. I was just like, lead on. And that was my time.
That's fantastic. Now, did you go to any comedy shows while you were up there?
I saw an improv show Sunday night at a different theater, the Magnet Theater.
Okay.
And I was just, it's impressive. It was tiny, dude, but they're all over that city. You know, they're all
amazing.
Over like these little 50-seaters. And it does, it does give you a vibe that there's something going on culturally. And I don't want to run down DC because that city has become so much in the last 15 years. Like, you were in this area a long time. I was going into that city since 91 when I was 10.
Yep.
It was just a death factory for the longest time. Just devoid of a damn thing. If you were white at sundown, you did something wrong. Like, you needed to get the heck out. And now it's just, there's a lot going on. I don't want to say it's on par with New York, but there are things. But for some reason, I guess because I'm not from there, I can romanticize New York. Whereas if you're Brooklyn born and bred, you'd be like, yeah, it's Brooklyn. It's a crap hole.
Yeah, but I think you're right on the comedy thing. And it's a different city in New York than I think anywhere else because
it's vast.
But I hear people who are actual comedians and in the business. And I listen to SiriusXM all the time. So I hear a lot of the comedians on there talking about how they can do 4, 5, 6 shows in a night because everything is right there.
You can make an entire career not leaving the tri-state.
Right. But they can do all of that because it's this block, this block, this block. The next place, comedy has just gotten so big there. Whereas you here in D.C., and maybe I'm being a bit naive, there's the improv and what else?
In terms of shows, it has grown to some extent. You can do at least one open mic a night. And if you want to drive, you can maybe do two.
But that's the thing. You have to get in your car. You have to drive in New York.
That is what kills me doing even one open mic.
Yeah.
How funny do you think I am, Bill? First of all, period. But how funny do you think I am leaving at 5:30 to get to an 8 p.m. open mic, and I roll up at 7:45, my back is sweaty.
Right.
I've been listening to the radio for 2 hours, and like my brain has just been fixated on not rear-ending someone for 2 hours.
Right.
It's just been stop and go. Versus, the guy who gets to chill out on the subway, like possibly see a dog lick peanut butter off someone's feet or some crap, because that's how that owner rolls.
Or somewhere else.
Something worse. And you get to be in your own mind. Our mass transit sucks here. Metro is a joke.
But it's also like if you're going to do, let's say they had an open mic at the Improv, and your other open mic might be at, say, the Arlington Cinnamon Draft House.
Yeah.
That's a tough get.
Oh, dude, all the time. Yeah, it's like Hyattsville and Fredericksburg.
Yeah, but in New York, it could be you're here, I don't know, the Comedy Cellar. Maybe around the corner there's this one. And they can walk literally to 5, 6, 7 different places
New
in
York,
a night.
They go on till 1, 2 in the morning. Like, that's the other part that lets you go deep as hell with it. Like, they start early enough and you can just take your time traveling to these places because it goes on forever. Whereas I don't know of a single open mic in this area that's really doing it beyond
past 8 o'clock, probably open
eight's when it starts.
Well, that's what I'm saying. First call at 8 and
probably by 11 most of them are winding down. So you can maybe get 2 on a given night. Like, if you can get 2 in the city, you can Uber from one to the other if you're an Uber-er.
Right.
Which I am not.
Worst guy or girl that you've seen at an open mic?
Worst girl I've seen at
or
an open
guy,
mic.
Or guy. Either one. Just who is there? And because you've done enough of them, right? Or you've been to enough of them.
Yeah.
Is there somebody that you go, boy, I was.
Oh, there's a couple. I mean, they're still in my sphere, so I'm not going to bring them up by name.
Oh, okay. All right.
But there's a couple people. I mean, there's one guy that legitimately, he's so bad and so unable to process how other people see him. I'm not exaggerating. Like, by the third time, I was like, I would rather watch this than like Louis C.K. segue into Dave Attell. Like, he's just
so bad it's good.
Yeah, I don't normally do the whole like I'm watching The Room because it's so bad it's good.
Right,
this is my room. Like, he is my Tommy Wiseau. Like, he's just he's so bad. Like, I'm in tears like halfway through, and other people don't get it. So it's like my thing. That's what makes it perfect.
And you're watching other people are just like,
yeah, I'm like, you get the genius of this, you dumb bastard.
But he's not. It's not a bit.
No,
he legit thinks he's good.
He's transcendent. He's.
But does he come off stage and go, I got to get better. That was not a good setup.
He
thinks he killed.
He thinks the audience.
Does he get laughs?
No.
So he just thinks it's the audience.
He just repeats setups as punchlines.
Give me. Do you know any of them? Can you think of any of them off the top of your head?
Oh, I'll,
if you can't, it's fine. I just didn't know if there's one that you're like.
I'll give you. Okay, this would be in the vein of his comedy.
Okay.
So my girlfriend bought a bike last week. my girlfriend's got a bike. She's riding her bike. And I'm like, why did you buy the bike? We have a car. And that would be like a joke of his. And you're like, what shred of this did you think was funny? But like, now that I know how his brain works, it's just, it works. It's like watching like a clockmaker put together some cuckoo clock. Like, I know what he does. And it's just, it's like a song only I can hear now. I'm just like, this is amazing.
Do you think this is like conversations he's had with his friends and they laugh? Like,
yeah, but usually people put like at least a sprinkle on top of that. You know, you don't just literally walk up and be like, so Steve said, and it's 18 minutes of that. I mean, people do but they wash out like three sets in.
Well, but I'm just thinking, I just wonder if he has these conversations, because I think this is what happens with a lot of people who don't study comedy, but just think, hey, you know what? My friends think I'm funny. I can stand up there.
Those are the worst people on earth.
They're the worst.
My friends think I'm funny people.
Yeah, right. And we know a lot of those people. We know a lot of those people that you and I both know that have tried to do stand up and failed miserably at it. And for some reason,
thankful.
And still think that
Trump happened, but also that happened. So maybe there is a God.
So there's a God. You just wonder if he's not like sitting there and going, yeah, I sat around with my friends and I was like, yeah, my girlfriend bought a bike. What's the point of buying a bike? We got a car. She's like, I'm going to get on a bike and go anywhere. Meaning that he's too lazy to ride a bike and his friends get it and they laugh, but he just.
I can picture that scene where you think he's talking to his friends and then it pans out and it's just like his embalmed family because he killed them all years ago.
He's Dexter.
Yeah, it's that level. It's just Texas Chainsaw. He's that.
Oh, I wish we'll have to do this again
and
get Mr. Jolly on because
Mr. Christopher Jolly.
I don't know if he'll tell the full story, but he had a run-in.
With
his son's school.
Oh.
Son is no longer at the school.
Oh, man.
Chris. It may be the best story, and he's got a lot of them.
Chris is.
It may be one of the best stories I've ever heard of his.
I love Chris, but he's very Floridian.
I mean, he's a guy that goes 0 to 60 in pretty quick fashion.
Yeah.
He's not a guy who does a slow burn. Like, you seem like a guy that would be a slow burn kind of guy. I think you're kind of like me that you kind of go.
For the most part, I don't break. Yeah.
Right. And then, but it's at some point, it keeps up and up and up.
Yeah.
Chris is one of those guys that it's just like 1 minute, everything's fine. And then the next minute, he gets an email and it's going to be Slaughterhouse-5. He's going to kill everyone. So. If we can get him to tell that story, it would be fantastic.
We can let me know what the weekends are because, like I said, I have my travel kit and we can do this whenever.
Yeah, so maybe a while, but we'll get him to do it. It is a
fascinating
story.
And if not, we can do something in the meantime because
sure.
You and I
are
both self-employed, as we made clear.
I am in.
Speaking of which, did I miss work? Well, it's a lot of texts, but I don't think work. Alrighty.
By the way, at Papa's Basement on Twitter, correct?
Yes.
There you go.
What's your handle, Bill? You're
at Bill
Roland.
That is at Bill Roland, R-O-H-L-A-N-D. Tell me why I'm an idiot. That's fine. I'm good
Bill,
with that.
Thanks for coming
in,
man.
That was awesome.
I know. It's sad that you should have a full-time show on air.
I appreciate it.
You're able to do this stuff with ease. And frankly, you make me better on the air.
No, I appreciate
by far. You amp me up. Otherwise, I don't. I'm this at the end of the show. The whole
you're the
show.
NPR with Manuel.
Little NPR-ish. Yeah,
walking up the mountain to the coffee as it glistens in the morning sun. Yes.
Show Papa's Basement. Find us on YouTube. Find us on iTunes. PAPA Basement. Just Google that, and you'll find everything we do in papasbasement.com. There's an Instagram too.
Oh, excellent. Lots of food?
No.
Pictures of food?
Just cats, I think. I don't know what the hell I put on my Instagram. Not much. I'm not it's really just for attractive women. Like, if you're
you
not
just,
doing
you just
want
to follow the ass models. I get it.
Pretty much, yeah.
I get it.
Like, it doesn't have to be the good ones either. You can be like the Brazilians where it's like, I got a caulk in my ass. That works for me. All right. Till the next one. We are out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about, nothing to critique. Great show, great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah, you're the best.
It's my time to go.
I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way. On my way, glory, hallelujah, I'm on my way.